This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 25th, 2019. Welcome, I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. The Big Deal feature, food and fun at the Pacific National Exhibition Fair in Vancouver. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or should Canadians across the country and across the political spectrum be worried about the outcome of the October 21st federal election? Two things happened last week. First, Chinese nationalists suddenly protested in cities across the world, including Canada, to counter the Hong Kong democracy movement. It had all the hallmarks of an organized campaign, maybe with the encouragement, if not the resources of, Chinese consulates. Outside a Vancouver Rapid Transit station near City Hall, a comedic display by the sons of wealthy mainland Chinese. They were driving around with big Chinese flags in their Ferraris, Audis, and Mercedes. Meanwhile, an angry mob of Chinese students waving brand new flags and manufactured signs hurled insults in Mandarin at a smaller group of Hong Kong supporters. The pro-China group reconvened outside the Nordstrom luxury department store in downtown later that night. A video shows a man goose-stepping by with his arm stretched in a Nazi salute, leaving the viewer to wonder, was he mocking the Chinese protesters, or was he showing solidarity? The mainlanders and the Hong Kongers faced off the next day. The mainlanders on the east side of Granville Street outside the Chinese consulate, the Hong Kongers on the west sidewalk. About 70 of the Hong Kong supporters went for a prayer meeting after the protest, a couple of blocks east of City Hall, at the 10th Church. But they needed a police escort because a mob of about 100 pro-China zealots surrounded the building. This happened in Canada. Churchgoers at a Christian church needed police to protect them. Go to thebreaker.news to see exclusive video footage of this shocking incident. Then, a day later, Twitter and Facebook shut down hundreds of fake accounts connected to the Chinese government. The accounts were aimed at spreading disinformation about the ongoing protests in Hong Kong. Canada's intelligence agency has warned Elections Canada to be prepared after widespread Russian mischief in the 2016 U.S. presidential campaign. If this is the calm before the storm, the story of the 43rd federal election in Canada could be all about China. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. Michelle Wong, Tony Chung, Sum Lok Kay, and Victor Ting report in the South China Morning Post. Demonstrators offer sparkling visions of unity as an estimated 135,000 people form 60-kilometer-long human chains to encircle city in Hong Kong Way. Anti-government protesters formed long human chains across Hong Kong on August 23rd, standing on pavements in snaking lines that stretched along three railway lines in an unprecedented event that they dubbed the Hong Kong Way. "Hong Kongers, add oil," they chanted. "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our times." They were pushing for their five core demands, which the government has rejected so far. A formal withdrawal of the now-abandoned extradition bill, which first sparked the current crisis, amnesty for those arrested, a commission of inquiry into the use of force by police, a retraction of protests being characterized as riots, and the revival of the city's stalled political reform process. They were also marking the 30th anniversary of the Baltic Way mass demonstration, when about 2 million people from Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania formed a human chain spanning about 680 kilometers across the three states in their push for independence from the Soviet Union in 1989. Jamie Morton in the New Zealand Herald reports, wild weather, beast from the east, rare polar phenomenon that may spell bitter spring. It's called a sudden stratospheric warming event, and, unlike the name might suggest, the rare phenomenon could spell a burst of bitterly cold weather for New Zealand over coming weeks. A sudden stratospheric warming event kicks off when the temperature of the stratosphere, that's 30 kilometers to 50 kilometers above ground, over the South Pole climbs by more than 25 degrees Celsius. Meteorologists think it's likely that this is about to happen next week. It has the potential to mess with a ring of stormy and freezing weather that encircles Antarctica, which is at its strongest at this time of year, and which we know better as the polar vortex that's been dubbed the Beast from the East, threatening to send a series of cold blasts from the North Pole to Western Europe and the United Kingdom, along with the east coast of the United States. There have been only two in New Zealand in recorded times, or since the late 1950s. One in September 2002, and the other in September 2010. And finally, the Meng Wanzhou extradition case was back in court in Vancouver last week, although the Huawei chief financial officer was not there. Hundreds of pages of documents and surveillance footage from her detention at Vancouver International Airport were released in advance of a two-week evidence disclosure hearing scheduled for late September. Meanwhile, a dramatized version of the controversy is coming to a screen near you in September, from the man who helped Donald Trump win the White House, executive producer Steve Bannon's Claws of the Red Dragon. In the movie, instead of Huawei, it's Hua Xing. Instead of Meng Wanzhou, it is Feng Xiaozhu. Reporter Jane Lee is based on Vancouver's Joanna Chu, but it won't be the Star Metro newspaper. Instead, it'll be the Vancouver Post. There are also characters based on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and disgraced Ambassador to China John McCallum. And it's just in time for Canada's federal election. Here is a clip from the trailer, Claws of the Red Dragon, about the Huawei controversy.
Whatever the Americans are claiming is a lie.
We are in an uncomfortable position because we have an extradition treaty with the Americans.
I think the entire U.S. government is fed up with China going afoul of international laws.
They just arbitrarily sentenced a Canadian to death.
It's faster, easier, and ultimately cheaper to achieve power through cyber technology than it is to build traditional military weapons. In short, Washing is their Trojan horse.
This is a crazy accusation by countries who are jealous of our success.
Your Honor, Ms. Feng is an extremely wealthy woman. The Crown is asking that her bail be denied.
Ms. Feng, can I ask you a few questions? Ms. Feng.
That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. David Rosbach reports in the Bellingham Herald, it's not a hoax. Bellingham Safeway workers find 23 kilos of cocaine with bananas. Bellingham Safeway employees made an unexpected discovery of approximately 23 kilos of cocaine while unloading a shipment of bananas on August 18th, police say. Similar finds were reportedly found in two other Washington state cities. The employees immediately called 911 after uncovering more than 50 pounds of cocaine, an estimated value of $500,000, and Bellingham police responded and took custody of the drugs. Joseph O'Sullivan reports in the Seattle Times, Republicans petition Inslee to reimburse state for his security detail used during presidential bid. Washington Governor Jay Inslee ended his presidential campaign August 21st and threw his hat in the ring for a third term as governor. But the state Republican Party is demanding Inslee pay the Treasury for protecting him while he pursued the Democratic Party nomination for president. Inslee uses a plainclothes detachment of the state patrol. During a four-month period, it cost taxpayers almost $600,000 for the policing. The chair of Washington's Democratic Party called the Republican petition a cheap political stunt. and in the Breaker.news, these headlines. Immigration raid at Hastings Racecourse. A Surrey link to the college admissions scandal. And we're in a free country and they want to stop people from praying. Pro-China government mob follows Hong Kong democracy supporters to Vancouver church. Police called to protect worshippers. Read the stories behind these headlines in the Breaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.news podcast. There is more to the 109th edition of the Pacific National Exhibition Fair than those mini donuts. On August 21st, reporters were given a tasting tour of the food stands and their 2019 offerings, such as cheesy ramen corn dogs at Corn Dog King, dill pickle pizza at Rick's Pizza, and candidates for the world's longest French fries at the aptly named Freak Fries. And debuting in 2019 at one of Tin Lizzie's stands is deep-fried chicken skin. Here is Jason Au to explain deep-fried chicken skin.
I'd like to bring you deep-fried chicken skin. So yeah, this year we were toying with a bunch of stuff, what to bring at the P&E, and chicken skins is where it's at and what we've come up with. At other fairs so far, they've been a really big hit. We've won some awards at other fairs so far, and you would have never thought, but it's the best part of chicken, so chicken skins for sure. So,
Jason, do you have one that you can show that would be as it was served?
That's more of a portion that was that you get for an order size, I guess. So, It's a lot of work. We get the whole chicken, we skin it, and we just fry the chicken. No, just kidding. We buy the chicken. Chicken skin. So they're definitely not. They're not greasy. They come out very nice. They're almost like a snacking skin sort of thing. So it's not bad. Definitely try it out. So any questions?
Meanwhile, Jackson Uppel introduced his rice burgers. Burgers with a Japanese twist. The buns aren't made of bread, but they're made of rice patties.
Now, I got another little quick tidbit, folks. As co-owner of this lovely establishment, I have eaten 3 rice burgers all day, every day over the last year. I've done the math. I've eaten 1,095 of them. The credit closer to my name of best friend, Austin Chen, sort of the business. It's closer to 4,676, give or take. I'm not so good at math. But I have learned how to eat my food. Now, you see this lovely burger, right? Now, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to pop this bad boy up vertically to allow all that gooey sauce to drip down, get involved. What you're going to want to do now is you hold it, you pinch this together, you bite. Twist the burger. Bite. Twist. At the end, you get to be called a parachute bite. Tilt your head back, pop it down the hatch, and stay clean, and you get the RBE, Rice Burger Experience. Who wants to step up and try some food?
Finally, at the 2019 P&E Fair, you can wash it all down with some nefarious Mexican-style Cerveza Lager from Parallel 49 Brewing. Yes, it's called Nefarious. Here are Anthony Frastali and Graham Wythe talking about the P&E's official East Van made beer.
Through pretty much my entire 20s working at the P&E while I was out doing some other stuff as well. So this is, marrying kind of my younger days and my current work. So it's near and dear to my heart. I'll let Graham talk about the beer because he's the mastermind behind it. But this was a true collaboration in the sense that we didn't just make a beer and say, go to the P&E and say, here you go. We engaged them throughout the entire process and kind of figured out what they were looking for, and they had input on the name and the graphics and the style of beer. So it's a true collaboration in that sense, and we're super happy with the way it turned out, and just super stoked to go and check out Dueling Pianos one of these nights and then crush a few Nefarious. So yeah, if you want to talk about the beer a bit.
Yeah, with the Nefarious, we wanted to do something a little lighter, so it's 4.5% alcohol. You tend to stay at the P&D for a while, so it'd be nice to have a few more, as opposed to something stronger. And then we are in the Cerveza bar, so we wanted to go something modeled after a Mexican Cerveza. So it's a quite light beer. There's a chunk of non-GMO corn, which is hard to find, in the beer to keep it light and kind of modeled after, you know, some of the more famous Mexican Cervezas. So yeah, quite light and drinkable, lower alcohol. Yeah, we used the Mexican yeast as well to get that sort of light, dry flavor. So yeah, something that hopefully you can drink all day and not get, you know, too tipsy with.
Meanwhile, one of this year's featured attractions at the Garden Auditorium is called Game Changers: The Evolution of Video Games. The Canadian Science and Technology Museum's touring exhibit is free with gate admission. Here is the P&E's manager of exhibits, Faisal Fadhali.
What people like is gaming. It's kind of like what old is new and new is old. Video games, right? Who doesn't like video games? And it really tells the evolution of video games, how video games incorporated with VR, how video games incorporate with movies, how video games, the first video game shows, and how the science behind video games evolved over time to even something like Guitar Hero. And who does not like a video game? And this exhibit incorporates all members of you know, a family. Family could come in, and we see a lot of like, well, back in the day, we used to do this, whereas kids are like, well, now we do, you know, what is that? Now we do virtual reality. This is like minimum standards. So great to see the evolution of video game. And this is what we bring to the fair, something you'll never get to see. There's the story behind Angry Birds game. There's a virtual reality station where you could go in front of the TV screen and it looks to you like you're like a character. It's awesome. Obviously, the Guitar Hero is one. And there's a first video game called Space Science. And you could see the actual video game, like an arcade kind of style game. And there's also shows how the pixels have, like, it's like breaking into pixel life, how it's changed and evolution, and how it's just every year just gets better, better to become more real life. And then you got the old school Nintendo. Again, this is the technology in 1985, mm-hmm. right? And so you can see how things have changed and actually how the framing works too. So even if you go back here, there's Avengers, Atari. Who didn't like a good Atari game? Very unique, and people don't get to see this kind of stuff, right? And mm-hmm. and as part of the fair programming, we want to bring something as part of the value of paying your entry fee as free as part of admission, mm-hmm. right? And how video games go with movies, video game goes with rock and roll, mm-hmm. right? And stuff like Guitar Hero. Who doesn't like a good Guitar Hero, right? Like, but because game changers, video games itself induce in every sense that you do, right? Like it's sound, it's visual, it's even like mind changing too. Because you see a lot of gamers, kids, you know, spend a lot of screen time, and it changes their mind of how they view life sometimes too, right? You see that, especially going in these, I forgot what the popular game is, but they feel like you're part of it, right? And you always have to play it, so. But yeah, gaming has changed, you know, since the 40s, right? Like, look at 1947, grandfather of all video games. And look, where are we now? So, mm-hmm. So this is why this sort of game is always, this exhibit is popular, to bring something different. And kind of like we always do. So every year we look at, you know, being part of the travel exhibit world, is look at something how we bring, like we brought Game of Thrones, you know, the Beatles. We brought a brand new Dragons exhibit. We try to bring something different every year.
That was Faisal Fadhali of the Pacific National Exhibition. This year's fair at Hastings Park in Vancouver runs through Labor Day on September 2nd. For more information on tickets and discounts, go to pne.ca.
Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on March 7th, 2019.
C-Lavalin is a company that employs 9,000 Canadians across this country.
SNC-Lavalin CEO Neil Bruce on BNN Bloomberg on March 20th, 2019.
The inference is that if you do not get to go the way of deferred prosecution agreement, 9,000 jobs disappear.
Well, that's incorrect, and we've never said that.
From the Parliamentary Ethics Committee on August 21st, 2019.
It is customary that when a member quotes a document in the a committee that he or she table the document so that all members can see it, the member across the way claims to have an analysis from the government showing 9,000 jobs were at stake. Can you just table that so we can all have a look at that analysis? Thanks.
I would ask Mr. McKinney, are you able to table that for the committee today?
No, that's not. Nor is that a point. Nor is that a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to British Columbians from Hong Kong, who have taken to the streets to support those overseas who are standing up for democracy, the rule of law, and freedom of speech. There is nothing more powerful than peaceful protest for human rights. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 25th, 2019. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on August 25th in 1875, Captain Matthew Webb was the first person to swim the English Channel from Dover, England to Calais, France, in the time of 21 hours and 45 minutes? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.